Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
I'm here.
And we're getting to our next guest, and our next guest is Joycetta Pierce. And Joycetta is the executive director of the Nassau County African American History Museum. Good morning, Joycetta.
Good morning. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you so much. I want to start. I always try to start with not necessarily the organization, but the person, which is you, and how you got involved.
Well, I had a long career doing, you know, business. I worked for NYNEX for like 17 years.
Oh, wow.
And I retired, and I got into genealogy. Using that, I started working at the museum. They gave us space at the museum, and we did family history for the community. And when they needed somebody to take over, our organization was there, so we kind of managed the museum as a gift to the county. So that's how I got all caught up into this.
That's amazing. I really, but, you know, those are the ones that I like the best, because that's a story where you grew into the role because you love what you're doing.
Exactly.
You know, you didn't put an application and say it's a job, it's a job. Now, tell us about the actual African-American Museum.
Well, the museum, it got started, actually, in 1968. It started over at Nassau Community College. One of the professors there, his name was Leroy Ramsey. It was 68, and it was one of the very early Black History Month celebrations, you know, during the Civil Rights Movement.
Okay.
So he decided that he would like to bring in his collection, and he asked for permission to put it up at the end of a hallway, like a little alcove, and the president allowed that. But when he went to take it down in March, a couple of Black students came over and said, you know, what are you doing? Oh, you're taking it down? Well, there's nothing else on the campus that we can relate to, you know. At that time, there weren't that many African-American students there anyhow. So they felt that, well, you know, this is what we can connect to. We like it. So they let it stay.
Okay.
Then along came Russell Service. He was our first African-American deputy county exec. So he says to Leroy, what's going to happen to all of this stuff that you have? You know, if you pass away, your kid's interested in this? And he said, well, no. He said, well, you know, why don't we let us make it an institution? You know, it'll be here long after you're gone, and you know, it's going to be a great thing. So sure enough, he says yes. The county gives him space over on Main Street, a little storefront. And then in 1984, they bought the building that we're in now at 110 North Franklin Street. And they refurbished it, and in 1985, it opened as the African American Museum of Nassau County. So that's the whole deal. And incidentally, Professor Ramsey is gone. He has passed away, and the museum is still here.
Now, what is the genealogical society part of it?
Well, the African Atlantic Genealogical Society, we started that in the 1980s. Well, I guess the book Roots had come out maybe in the 70s. And maybe around 81, 82, we went to a lecture at, Hofstra. And we met a Dr. James Rose. He was known as Dr. Roots. He lived in Hempstead. He had a business here, and he did genealogy. And I thought I was fascinated with it. So we started talking to him. He says, well, I live in Freeport. I live in Freeport, too. So he says, well, any questions you have, just, you know, stop by, and I'll straighten it out. And I did that. And I got so caught up in it, when I would go over to the Schomburg to do research on my family, my husband and I, we would, you know, go over there and mention to him that we were going. He would say, oh, I'm working on a case. Could you look this up for me? And before we knew it, we were, you know, working as his, detectives. And we got to the point where we started our own business, and it was a nonprofit, and it was called the African American Genealogical Society. And we used to go out and do speeches here and there and do workshops and that sort of thing. And we went to a school in Brooklyn, Medgar Evers. And normally, after we did our little presentation, I mean, people were so excited. Wow, I can do my family history. And they would be raising their hands and asking all kinds of questions. But this group, 20 or 30 people, they were really quiet. And I said, well, gee whiz, was this something we did? And one of the students spoke up and said, well, you know, we're all Afro-Caribbean. We're not from here, so we can't use all of this census that you're talking about and all these documents, all these places we can go. Ah, I said, okay, now, what are we going to do about this? So we thought it over, and we said that we can serve anyone who has an African or an Atlantic crossing experience in their background. So that covered everybody on Earth.
Wow. Now, you mentioned your husband. You have quite a family. Can you talk about Julius and his involvement with you and all the things you two are doing together in senior years as volunteers?
Absolutely. Well, Julius started out as a police officer. He was born in North Carolina, but he came to New York as a 19-year-old. And he, you know, had a few jobs, and then he tried out for the police department. He became the very first African-American police officer for the village of Freeport. And he worked for 21 years as a police officer. And he was your kind of, the kind of police officer that you saw in the Little Rascal movies, where he would get the kids by the scruff of the neck and take them home to their parents. And so, as a matter of fact, on, what is his name, Eddie Murphy, he's a comedian, everybody probably knows, and he grew up in Roosevelt, but he used to hang out in Freeport, and when he made his very big first comedy album, he talks about having been chased from some store that he was doing something wrong at, and he says, I ran away, and I made it. He's this big police officer. I knew I could outrun him, so I ran away. He said, but by the time I got home, he was already there, had told my parents, and my father was waiting for me with the switch in his hand.
Uh-oh.
That's one of the jokes he tells on his album.
Wow.
So then he went on, after he was a police officer, he went on to be a private investigator. We started a private investigation firm called Jewel Joy Associates Incorporated. And we did that until we started the Genealogy Society. He also founded the Martin Luther King birthday celebration that Nassau County celebrates even till today. We started it as part of the A Better Freeport organization that we were into. And we said, well, let's do something for the, you know, Martin Luther King Day. He had died recently. And we said, well, it was like 20 years later, but they were talking about making it a holiday at that point. So that's how we got involved. And we had a couple of events in Freeport at the Freeport High School. And then he spoke to Fran Purcell. And he was our county exec at that time. And Fran thought it would be a great idea to bring it to the county level and celebrate it once a year and that sort of thing. And all volunteers came from the county, from all around, everywhere to participate. And it was for scholarships. And to this day, they've given, I think it's close to $300,000 now, $300,000 in scholarships that they've given to Nassau County high school students.
Wow, that's amazing. That's tremendous.
And it's diverse. I mean, anybody who applies can get it. Doesn't
right.
matter what, you know, what color you are, what religion you are. And then some organizations have stepped up, and they've added to that scholarship that the committee gives. There are organizations like the Islamic Center. They sponsor a scholarship in their name. And different businesses, they sponsor scholarships. So it's a great thing. They meet once a year, they do this luncheon, everybody pulls in, and those kids get sent off to college with a check.
Do you have children?
I can't think of anything else. He's done so much. I mean, I'm probably forgetting 47 different things. But he's really, you know, I'll tell you another little. Do I have a minute to tell another little story?
Yep, absolutely, Joe. Set up.
Well, we're riding along the street, and we stop at a light, and this police officer pulls up behind us, and she says, oh, did you brush that car back there? And he says, no. I think the rearview mirror?
Right.
It bumped something, and it closed, so it made a loud noise. So I guess somebody in the street said, you know, just tell them to just hit that car. But it wasn't any damage or anything. So the police officer comes over to him, and she is a female, and she says, sir, I'd like to see your license. And so he has to stand up and get out of the car to get his wallet out of his pocket. So she's saying, sir, do do not get out of the car. Just let me have your license. And I'm saying to him, Julius, come on. Explain that you have to stand up. This explain the situation. You know, he's just getting out. He's not telling her, I need to stand up so I can reach my back pocket. So now she's getting a little testy because, you know, I mean, he's a really gigantic person. And she's, trying to, be composed. And she goes, sir, kindly, don't get out of the car. I said, excuse me, he really has to stand up in order to get to his back pocket. Is that okay? So she's okay. So now he's a little fluffed up now. So he stands up and he stands in front of her. He's handing her his little license, but he's aggravated now. And he looks at her shoulder and he says, hey, you've got my badge. She says, what? He says, you're 104. That's my badge. They gave you my badge. That's his number when he was
his
a police officer.
When he was in the police. Oh, my gosh.
And
what a coincidence.
Then it started hysteria. Then it was hugging and, oh, my goodness, wow.
That's a small world.
It really is. It really is.
That's a great story. Actually, I going through everything, I do have a question, but actually, we're going to take a break because I need you to explain something for me. Joycetta, just hold on. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.